That was awesome. I think that's my most favorite version of that song I've ever heard. My scripture for this morning is from Paul's letter to the church in the book of Romans. Paul's letter to the Romans is by far the longest of all the epistles. It is full of Paul's advice for Christian living. And he wants to tell the church in Rome to shore up communications. He has been away from them and unable to be there with them in person. And it was a challenging time for the church, as they say. Tension over beliefs, differences between them, facing persecution from being a new religious group in a Roman world. And in typical Paul fashion, you will see that Paul goes a bit over the top with his descriptive words to the church. He's trying to articulate to them who are struggling, who might feel fear and uncertainty, to remind them that the church has a unique perspective here on this. He says, suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope never disappoints. It's really a beautiful passage if you listen to it, and so I invite you to turn to it in Romans chapter 5 and to listen with open hearts and ears to God's word to us today. He says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God provides his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely than now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Well, as I prepared for Sunday, there was this word that kept jumping out to me when I read this passage to myself. Boast. Paul says it a lot in just these six verses. Paul mentions it several times. He says, "And at the beginning, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings." And in verse 11, he says, "But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Boasting. Have you ever thought about boasting for Jesus? Have you ever actually thought about boasting? I must admit, I don't think of the word in a positive sense at all, you know? Isn't that what your mama told you? Don't boast, don't brag, don't be a know-it-all. You know, you all are polite Tennesseans. You try not to boast about anything except maybe your football, but that's about it. You don't want to be a boaster. You don't want to be that person. You know, toot your own horn, brag, or the famous humble brag. Ministers are experts at the humble brag. I have to tell you, we mostly do it when we are around other ministers. And it generally goes something like this, like, you know, we'll say, oh, let me just tell you about all that God is doing in this place. But then you proceed to talk about how awesome and amazing, how smart you are in the midst of all these things. Ministers, we do this to one another all the time. Or there is the humble brag where someone will say, you know, I'm really having a lot of trouble. Some folks are fighting in my church over the colors of the curtains. and it's horrible. People aren't talking to each other. People aren't coming to church about it. It's been an awful fight. And then you respond by saying, well, you know, at First Christian Rockwood, we aren't perfect, but that would never happen at this church. I mean, we sort of know where perspectives are in the kingdom of God, and, you know, it's the humble brag, the humble brag. Ministers love to do it. And here is Paul telling us to boast. Boast away. Paul, the most prolific Christian evangelist of all time, the one who has written more texts in our New Testament than anyone else, is saying boast. This is his advice to the early church. He wants Christians to boast about their faith in Jesus Christ. He wants them to boast about the grace they've received, to boast about even their sufferings, not because for suffering's sake, but because you learned through it, you endured, you grew, and because of that, you had character, and character gave you hope, and hope never disappoints. And he says, boast about it, boast. And I can't help but think that he probably is thinking of it in a different way than than non-first century people think about it. If you think about boasting today as Christians, you probably immediately think of maybe a billboard sign out there that says, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Or this sort of attitude of, na 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 boo boo, we've got Jesus and you don't, or we are right and you are wrong. That sort of feeling of boasting. We can't forget that Paul is talking to a church who has suffered much for their faith. These are people who have lost families, they have lost communities, they have lost their religion, they are living into this new cultural norm, this new thing called Christianity, and they are facing hatred and persecution, and some of them are being imprisoned, and some are even dying for their faith. And I think those of us who live life, especially our faith life, pretty safely and comfortably, it's hard for us to even imagine. And so when Paul says boast, I think he's trying to get them as a tactic to realize, to hold to what they have gained in spite of what they've lost, to hold to the joy in spite of the heartache. And I happen to think this is amazing advice. I mean, Dr. Phil has nothing on Paul right here. I think this is amazing advice, amazing wisdom for the church, and even how to live a life of faith. He wants them to make their way through this time by holding on to what they have, to their faith, to what they have gotten. It reminds me of a minister I heard once that said, the good news is that God knows us, and the bad news is that God knows us. Paul says, for while we were weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For us. And Paul says, this you got to boast about. This you have to boast about. And it's hard for us who are comfortable in our faith, in our lives, to think of what he might have wanted them to do, to remember that through their suffering, it produced endurance, and endurance produces character, and character gives us hope, and hope will never disappoint us. Paul says that you got to talk about, that you have to share. And why? Why does he want us to do this? I think it's because it changes us. It changes us to talk about it. You know, I am mindful. Haven't you ever noticed that the hard stuff, the really important stuff, those words sometimes just get caught up in your throat. You just can't even say them. And so we don't. You know, I'm mindful that even some of you who shared pictures of fathers today might do so with a little sense of longing, that maybe in your life, in your relationship, there were some things that were left unsaid that you wish you could change. You know, for some folks in their house, there is a roof over their heads, there's food on the table, but the important words are not spoken. And that's hard, really hard. A man I knew many years ago had a really fractured relationship with his dad. You know, one of those things that was a lot of years coming probably, but he had no relationship with his father. His children did not know their grandfather at all, and it was the culmination of probably years of family tensions and things that were unspoken that shouldn't have been unspoken until one Christmas it all bubbled out and words were said, and they both, father and son, went their separate ways and nobody talked for years. And then he got a call that his dad was very sick and in the hospital, and he just got in the car and drove 6 hours to see his dad, and he went into the room, and they talked about the weather and about football and about business and about what the scans were showing and the doctors were telling him. And then he left. And I asked him why he did not bring up, you know, the elephant in the room. Why didn't you talk about any of the important things, about why you haven't talked or why you even decided to show up that day? And you know what he said? He said, "I drove 6 hours to see him. You'd think he would have been the first one to bring it up." And so he talks about the weather. And they still don't talk. Paul knew what is hard to say is what we need to be about, to share the truth of our lives. And when we claim that, when we say it out loud, it gives others an important opportunity to recognize something, the wonderful Me Too, to realize we're not alone in this, the shared experience of it all, to recognize that. I think that changes us as a people. I think it does. You know, what if he had walked into that hospital room well aware that his father may or may not have received this in any way that would have been helpful. But what if still, for his own sake, he walked into that room and he said, "I hate that we have not talked for a decade. I hate that. And no matter what, I love you." What if? I remember a preacher sharing a little story about his time leading Vacation Bible School to 10, 11, 12-year-olds. First of all, I happen to think that any Vacation Bible School volunteers need to get a VIP entrance into Heaven's Gate one day. I don't think Heaven probably has VIP entrances. At least I hope not. And but if it did, I happen to think teachers of all kinds need to get front of the line, and because they've earned it. And anyway, so he had this, probably a tactic to just stall some time. But he gave them an assignment to go out for 5 minutes and look around creation and to bring back something that reminded them of God. That was their assignment. Come back and bring me something that reminds you of God. And so they ran out. And after 5 minutes, they all came back. And one kid had a stone in his hand. And he said, "I brought this stone because it's strong and God is strong." And another kid had a flower, said, "I bring this flower because it reminds me of the beauty of God's creation." Another one had a little huckleberry, and said, "I brought these berries because God feeds the birds of the air." And finally, a little boy had run and gotten his 6-year-old little sister And there she was, standing there, holding his hand, didn't know why she was there. And he said, why did you bring your sister? Why does she remind you of God? And he got all sort of sheepish and dug his toes in the dirt and said, I can't remember. And his sister said, oh, you're being silly. She ran off back to her class. You know, the true stuff, the important stuff, it's hard to say. So, what if you boasted? What if you boasted a little? Maybe even boasted about even, dare I say, a horrendous mistake in your life. A fabulous mistake. And not because you're glad you made it for the suffering of it, but because you learned and you grew. And you know what? Out of the ashes of that despair came new life that you could have never imagined. What if you talked about God's timing and God's plans that never ever seem to match your timing and your plans, but sometimes when you look back, you see it. You see how God provided. What if you told those stories? Stories that were real and true to you about what you know about God and faith in Jesus and what you don't know about God and faith in Jesus. You know, that's the thing. Jesus didn't just tell stories about military might or queens and kings. He told stories about shepherds and farmers sowing seeds and wild mustard seed bushes growing and lost coins and yeast and bread. He told stories that had everyday stuff in it, the stuff of our lives. And when he talked to people, he talked to tax collectors and women with checkered pasts and kids who were always told to be seen and not heard. And he told stories where the hero of the story was not the one who was the one who's supposed to be so right. A good Samaritan? He told stories about us. He told stories about us in our broken and perfect, messy lives because he wanted us to see that the kingdom of God is right here in our lives, to see God in the midst of our messy and broken lives. The kingdom of God is for you. The kingdom of God is for you. What are you leaving unsaid? What if I told you that you better start boasting? Boast of the stories of your messy life, your imperfect life, about what you know about God and what you don't know about God. And even if it's hard to say, there may just be someone in your life who is hungry to hear it, who needs to hear it. Because you know what? From your story, they might learn that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope will not disappoint you. Hope will not fail. So just this once, church, don't listen to your mama today. Don't even listen to your dad on Father's Day. Today I want you to listen to a renegade evangelist who lived in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. And you know what? He went from a Christian hater to a Christian leader, and he lost his life for the cause, but up until the end, he was boasting about a love that never let him go. Amen.